Of course, the Bright Side of Life segment where you call in and give us some good news. Mark Hamrick, you're going to give us some good news? Are you? Am I going to include you in our Bright Side of Life segment later today?
Well, it's good to be with you, John. I would just say that this jobs report was no joke.
Yeah, well,
it was really unexpected, and you know, we can smile about the persistent resilience of the job market, and I think that is the major takeaway today. Everybody's sort of, you know, wondering whether they need to buy canned goods at this point, and the recession may be in the offing, but not by virtue of these numbers.
Talk to me about that. What numbers are you talking about?
Well, I mean, let's go to sort of the headlines. The unemployment rate fell back to 3.4%. When we were there in January, we reminded people the last time we had that happen, Neil Armstrong was on another planet, or at least on a satellite moving around this planet, the moon, and that was 1969. So we had better than expected payrolls growth here, 253,000. We do see a slowing pace of jobs being added, but employment is quite remarkably resilient and robust. And I think, you know, if most people would have been asked any number of months ago whether this would have been the case by now, unemployment rate at 3.4% nationally, they would say no. Now, let's try to level set this with respect to everything else that's going on. Yes, the number of job cuts and layoffs, job cut announcements and layoffs are quite elevated, and those have been accelerating. But, you know, we can have births and deaths in this country at the same time, and we can have job cuts and people being hired at the same time as well.
Hmm. But wasn't the Fed, by raising interest rates, trying to slow the economy, and that would have led to higher unemployment?
Well, you know, we attended the news conference this week from held by Chairman Powell, and he, you know, continues to remark time and time again that the labor market is strong, that there has been a mismatch of supply of labor and demand. And I should say a mismatch of supply and demand for labor. But he said that has been resolving itself. If we looked at the job openings report earlier this week, we're down about 2 million in job openings from the peak, but we're still up 2 million from where we were before the pandemic. So there's still a lot of underlying demand in this economy. And to your point, the Fed's been trying to adjust the one thing that it can attack, and that is demand. It can't do anything about the supply on the consumer side, or even really the supply of labor. And, you know, the risk is that interest rates do have to go higher from here. But the other point about that, with the bank failures in the news, with tightening credit in the news, Chairman Powell and his colleagues at the Fed believe that that may do some of their work for them. And banks are going to be a little more stingy with their money.
Yeah. You'll pardon me for being suspicious of any kind of good news these days.
Well, you know, we've been bludgeoned about the head and shoulders so many times over the last number of years that some caution, perhaps not paranoia, is warranted. But, you know, let's also acknowledge the fact that, you know, there are some good things happening in the economy, that the fact that the unemployment rate does remain so low. Savers are getting more return on their savings when they're taking advantage of those opportunities out there. And so, you know, we can say that the glass can be both half full and half empty at the same time.
But I do see that the Fed is agnostic about another interest rate hike. I suppose most people are guessing, are hoping right now that they won't next time. What's the betting on that?
Is that the Fed won't raise rates again, but we've got our two main readings on inflation due next week, and we will have about a month after that before the next Federal Reserve meeting. And so they'll have a lot of data to crunch before they get there. I think the best way to characterize it with respect to the written statement and the essentially the news conference approach taken by Jerome Powell is that they're leaving their options open to do what they think is needed, you know, meeting by meeting, more so perhaps than usual, in the sense of they are not, as they were previously, signaling that the future direction of interest rates was higher. Now, essentially, they're saying, you know, they'll move as the data points them or not move. And obviously the futures market's indicating right now that another rate hike is not in the cards, but we really have to get, you know, more than just a few days out from the most recent meeting and get more data in front of us.
Well, you said a moment ago that maybe some of these bank issues are doing the work for the Fed.
Right.
I hope that's the case. I would like to see interest rates stabilize and start to go the other way.
Yeah. You've got a lot of company.
I was just going to say, which is not a novel statement, but I mean, that's kind of what we've all been waiting for here, right?
Well, you know, my colleague Greg McBride, who's been doing his job for Bankrate longer than I've been doing mine for Bankrate, although chronologically I am senior to him, has a great line, and that is, we don't wish for a recession to get lower mortgage rates, right? And that there is a takeaway from that, in the sense of we don't want essentially a credit crunch to move the Fed off of its rate raising inclination. But some balance would be good. It'd be nice, as you alluded earlier, to get stock prices moving in an upward direction, and we put this bear market behind us. People would feel better about their 401ks and even their short-term investments if they have them. There is, as I said earlier before the break, though, there is an opportunity here to take advantage of the high rates from the standpoint of savings in a way that, you know, the returns on savings are the best we've seen in over a decade. And, you know, we are trying to point people in that direction and point them away from allowing their credit card interest debt to roll over, because the best offers right now to the best qualified individuals is at 20.25% on that interest rate. So that's quite punitive if that debt continues to stick in the account there.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. This is maybe your bailiwick. You're at Bankrate, and the best credit card rate, if I carry a balance over a month, is 20.25%.
Well, that's the average, without going into specific cards. So that's the average for the best qualified individuals in the sense of the offers that are being put out there right now. And that's the highest that we've ever seen. So, you know, that's quite punitive. Even as the year began, we were at roughly 19.5%. And now with the Fed interest rate hikes, we're at 20.25%. And, you know, I'm a fan of using credit cards as a tool. If you like cash back, if you like rewards, that's fine, but you just cannot afford, well, you can afford it perhaps, but you don't want to afford that, that, you know, interest accumulating, where then, you know, when you got to pay your statement at the end of the month, you owe more than what you put on the charge card.
I wonder how many of us look at the bill, you know, here's your minimum due and I'll pay how much I can, whatever my credit card bill is, and we see that number. But I wonder how many of us look at the rate that we're being charged. I wonder how aware folks are of that.
Well, there have been some changes in the law over the years that have compelled the issuers and the banks to get that information more in front of consumers and borrowers. But no, you know, I think clearly not enough. But the other part is, you know, we've been through high and sustained inflation here going back for a couple of years now. And as we've seen people struggle to deal with that, some have essentially thought that they had no other solution but to use more debt. And, you know, that's why we go back to the ways to try to avoid that from the personal finance standpoint. And that is, you know, you got to build your savings, build that emergency savings. You know, we've talked time and time again about our Bankrate surveys that find that only 43% of individuals could pay an emergency expense of $1,000 or more from savings. And the reverse of that is that too many people, most people, do live paycheck to paycheck. And so when the job market is as strong as it has continued to be, as we've had, you know, this recovery proceed from essentially the summer of 2020, this has been an opportunity for people to better their lot from the standpoint of if they're employed. You know, ADP tells us you'll get 2 times the salary increase if you change jobs, obviously on average, than those who stay with their jobs. Not telling everybody to pick up and go, but for many that will be an opportunity.
Now, I don't know what the rate is that we're paying on our credit card right now. I don't know what that number is. And is this true still if you flip your card over and see the phone number there and call that and ask them for a better rate, you can often get it?
I can't give you a probability or a statistical answer to that, John, but I'll tell you what, more often than not, I am surprised by what one can get by asking, whether it's calling, you know, your cable supplier, if you're still hooked up, you know, to cable TV, your cell phone provider, your insurance provider. Are you taking advantage of the discounts that you might be able to get? And yes, absolutely, the credit card company as well. I had a situation like that myself recently where I have an airline card and I thought, you know what, I'm not really flying that airline anymore, or at least I don't think I will be in the near term. And I called up the bank and or the issuer, and they said, well, just stick around for another 6 months because you're due to get some points because it's an annual thing that you get. And I'm like, okay, that's good. It's not going to cost me any money just to wait to cancel it down the road. So we have a great presence of information both at bankrate.com about credit cards and one of our companion sites, actually two, creditcards.com and the points guy. If people are really interested in all this, and I know you've talked to my colleague Ted Rossman, who is more of a specialist in these ways than I am, there's a lot of great free information out there is really how to leverage all these tools. And
what's that site, Mark?
Well, you can start at bankrate.com, but the other one for frequent travelers is The Points Guy, by our friend Brian Kelly, and that's part of our company as well as creditcards.com. We're all three sort of sister or brother companies.
That's good to hear. Mark Hamrick is a senior economic analyst and a Washington bureau chief for the Bankrate. Bankrate.com plus all those other groovy sites. Very helpful today, Mark, as always. Thanks for your help.
Yeah, we'll figure out what your credit card rate is next time, right, John? Thank you.
I'm afraid to look. Kiana DeStasi is on the line, Chief Marketing and Communications Officer for the Chicago Loop Alliance. I say that to say this to you, Kiana. It'd be a good time to do something on State Street. Am I right?
Of course. This beautiful weather just gets you definitely ready for the summer and for Sundays on State.
Sundays on State, do I recall correctly, started when the pandemic hit. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. So this is a program that was developed and launched in the summer of 2021. You know, if you can think back to that time, we all were a little bit more unsure about what the pandemic was bringing us and really needed safe outdoor activities where people could gather in open air spaces to enjoy our beautiful city. So it was created then with the goals of economic recovery, as well as uniting the community and creating joy, which was desperately needed then and is still really, really needed at this time as well.
No kidding. So what is Sundays on State? For those who don't recall or don't know, what do we do?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So Sundays on State is internationally acclaimed and award-winning event series that shuts down the most iconic street in Chicago, State Street, in the most iconic area from around Lake down to this year, we're expanding it all the way to Adams. So you're able to, it's shut down from automobile traffic and opened up for pedestrians to have a free interactive block party. There is art, culture, active recreation, food, drinks, shopping, local attractions, and you can, you know, take your picture right out and standing on the street right in front of the Chicago Theater.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of how much fun it is when we bike the drive. You know, holy cow, I'm standing here in the middle of Lakeshore Drive riding my bicycle. But in this case, I'm standing on State Street. And you said from Adams, which think maybe Union Station, but over to State Street. And then how far north does it go?
So it's actually, it takes place on State Street solely, but from Adams on the south end all the way up to Lake. So it's on State Street primarily.
Yeah. If I didn't indicate that, that's my understanding as well. And then are there vendors outside and activities? What is on State Street?
Yeah, so it's great. So there's a lot going on State Street. 92% of the activations that are on the street are from underrepresented businesses. So we're talking about small local entrepreneurs from Chicago and the Chicagoland area that are actually majority are Black, Latinx, and women-owned businesses. They're out on the street. There's great art. There's local shopping. And there's also artists out there. There's also active recreation, sort of things you can participate in. There's dance classes often. We haven't released the full lineup for this summer's events yet, but what we're looking for now is we are encouraging people to apply to be a part of the activations on the street. So if folks want to come out, either if you have a small local business or you're an artist or you want to just really create something really cool to activate on State Street this summer, this is the time to apply. If you saw Sundays on State and you thought, wait, I want to do something cool in the middle of the most iconic street in the city, this is your chance. The applications are open now at loopchicago.com/Sundays and they close May 19th.
So the actual run of Sundays on State starts July 16th, right?
Yeah, so this summer, that's another important note. This summer, there's only 2 Sundays on state events. We have expanded the footprint, but it's only 2 days. So it's Sunday, July 16th and Sunday, August 13th. And both days are 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. But the call for activations closes this May 19th.
So if I had if I was a brewer, if I had a small craft shop, if I help me out here, what sort of things are you looking for?
Exactly. So, you know, whatever you have that you think the Chicago community and public would be interested in, we encourage people to apply. Sometimes people are selling, you know, homemade goods. Some people are selling art. Some people are selling clothing. But also we really encourage people to apply with something a little unique and different. We've had, you know, people set up areas for children to play in the past. We've had libraries or bookstores set up little reading areas, little lounges, little ways to interact with the public. People can play games out on the street. If you're looking to engage with the public in some sort of way and set up an area in State Street in order to do that, so that when people are walking down the street, they have cool, innovative things to do, that's what we're looking for. So there's really no specific boundary, although the free complimentary spots at Sundays on State are open. It's intended for local small businesses and entrepreneurs. So that's what makes Sundays on State a little different. It's really accessible to everyone. The people who are a part of making Sundays on State come to life are part from every single neighborhood in the Chicago area and beyond. And so you really see a little bit of everything. And the same thing with the crowd. It feels like people are coming from every section of our city.
I want to mention this. Sundays on State also has an opportunity for you to win a $1,000 Loop staycation package. Am I reading that right?
And yes, and doesn't that sound nice? So yes, if you register, registration is now open for the 2 events, for July 16th and August 13th. We strongly recommend people register. It is free, but you register in advance at loopchicago.com, and when you do that, you're automatically entered for a $1,000 Loop staycation package. And a great thing that I can share with you is that it includes a stay at the Witt Hotel, a Hilton hotel. So you get to stay at the Witt. That's a great, iconic hotel right on State Street. You can also use the gift card if you prefer, if you wish to instead dine at the Roof in the Witt or go to the spa at the Witt. So there's a wonderful Loop staycation package. It will also include gift certificates to some other things in the Loop, so attractions and restaurants and things like that.
Oh, what a great idea. Good luck to you in the future. That'll be the middle of July, the middle of August, but you got to get in now with your idea and register to win that package. Go to loopchicago.com, loopchicago.com. Okay, Kiana, we'll see you on State Street soon.
Great talking to you again, John. Thank you so much.
On the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we've got more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. More union activity at a big retailer with a Chicago presence. REI workers have voted to unionize. Cranes reports employees voted 41-8 in favor of the union. The group includes 60 workers in clothing sales, inventory, and repair. They'll be represented by the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. They want better pay, benefits, and job security. The REI store in Chicago is the 4th location to unionize, following stores in New York City, Berkeley, and Cleveland. The company is based in Seattle. A union representing grocery store workers has come out against the merger between Albertsons and Kroger. Albertsons is the parent company of Jewel Osco, and Kroger is the parent company of Mariano's. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union says it's concerned about stores being sold and employees being put out of work. The companies may have to divest stores to ease concerns the merger would create a monopoly. The proposed merger faces regulatory hurdles, and lawmakers are concerned it would reduce competition and raise prices for consumers. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yes, it's a Mr. Fizz Friday, and tomorrow is International Naked Gardening Day. I'll ask Jim about that later, but now I am pleased to tell you we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, Mr. Fizz, gardening guru Jim Fizzell, what's on your mind today?
Well, Steve, hi. It's a nice day today. We hope it's going to be a little warmer than it's been, and the paucity of warm weather has really discouraged us from getting out in the gardens, but it looks like we're going to have a little bit of nice weather, a little warm. Oh, by the way, Feliz Cinco de Mayo. May 5, important day in many of the Spanish-speaking areas, but also an important day for us gardeners because it's the frost-free day, so-called frost-free, which doesn't mean frost-free. That just means 50% of the time you will not get a frost after May 5. And the way the weather's been this year, you might be going to get a frost a little bit later. Nonetheless, there are a lot of things we need to get started now. First of all, we haven't talked very much about pruning things like grapes, raspberries, and peaches. And if you have not pruned those, and they're one varieties that you need to prune at this time of year, be sure you get that done before they put very much growth on. Also important to remove the mulch from things like perennials and strawberries, rose bushes, things that have been protected for the winter. Also dividing ornamental grasses. This is the time to do it before they make any growth so you can find out where the roots and so forth are on them before they're covered with tops. Now, late flowering perennials, the ones that flower in late summer or fall, can be divided now. Don't divide the spring flowering ones because they won't flower for you. If you're growing fruit trees in your backyard, and many of us do that, now this is the time to apply the first spray for those things like apple scab, apple maggot, and codling moth, and so forth. You need to follow a spray guide for those. Use an all-purpose fruit tree spray, and don't spray when they're in bloom. You need to get the spray on now because they're not in bloom and they're not going to be attracting anything like bees that might be endangered by stuff that you spray.
All righty. Looking at the calendar, Jim, I see tomorrow is World Naked Gardening Day. You got any advice for the adventurous?
Hide. Have something warm to get into immediately, especially this time of year.
Oh, I don't know. Looks like we may break 70 tomorrow afternoon. Still a little on the nippy side, though, I guess. Enjoy the day and the weekend. I'm Steve Alexander, and that's The Business of Food on 720 WGN.
The founder of a company called Yum Wolf, which sounds like it would be delicious dog food. Jaron, welcome to the show.
You know, thanks for having me, and we like to think that dogs do find it very tasty.
It's a non-GMO dog food. What does that even mean?
Yeah, we're very proud about what we've created in terms of just an elevated dog food to help dogs live longer, and that's really what it's all about. And so all of our recipes are non-GMO to start, meaning they have no pesticides, especially glyphosates, which are linked to cancer in both dogs and humans. And another thing that's been really important, and I think a lot of our customers connect with when they're buying from Yum Wolf, is the fact that we don't use seed oils. So seed oils tend to be very high in omega-6, which is inflammatory, meaning they actually provoke the body to create inflammatory molecules. And so instead of that, we use what I like to call, and just wrote about in my book, the canine Coco Omega effect. We call them Coco Omega superfats, and there's really cool new research showing how if you combine coconut oil with omega-3s, especially fish oil, they have these really amazing benefits for reducing inflammation and ultimately creating microbiome diversity, which is associated with longevity.
This is the way we talk about humans. I don't think I've heard anybody, in all of the exposure I've had to dog food and dog commercials, I don't think I've heard anybody talk about dog health this way.
You know, I really haven't either until we came along. And it's something I'm very passionate about. It all really started when I figured out that all of my skin issues that I had had starting in my late teens, I'm 37 now, all of those skin issues that I was seeing dermatologists for more than a decade turned out to be food allergies. Not a single doctor ever recommended to me, like, hey, maybe you should go, like, do a food allergy test. And it turns out, like, if I don't eat nuts, seeds, eggs, my skin issues clear up entirely, and I'm, like, perfectly normal. So that's part of what really got me onto this journey and really created a passion in me. And, you know, I looked at the pet food space. I mean, we just look at the aisles of Petco. We see all these bags of inflammatory dry kibble, and I thought we could do something better. One thing I talk about in the book in particular is that there's no such thing as a non-inflammatory dry kibble, because even though they do tend to use these really bad seed oils, which are inflammatory to begin with, no matter what they use, they cook it in a way that oxidizes all the fats and makes it inflammatory as well. So, like, if you're feeding your dog, anyone who's listening, feeding your dog dry kibble and they have, like, major skin allergies or digestive issues, even obesity, like, it's definitely worth looking at new options besides that.
So then we're talking to Jaron Lucas. He's the founder of a company called Yum Wolf, and it's a non-GMO dog food brand. So do I buy this online? Is it in stores? And what is it like? Is it a moist food or what is it?
Yeah, it's available on our website, yumwoof.com. It's like yumwoof.com. And, you know, it's like you said, it doesn't look or feel like any other dog food out there. If anything, I would say it's more of like a soft and chewy power bar or something like that. So it's got this really cool soft and chewy texture. We air dry it, so it's a very high quality way of cooking the food at low temperatures to maintain all the nutrients. And kind of like talking about what I was saying before, it doesn't oxidize the fats. So it makes the food anti-inflammatory. And I think that's a big reason why our soft and chewy food, perfect kibble, despite the name, not a dry kibble. And I think that our air dried food has really been able to help a lot of dogs, you know, reduce their skin allergies, digestive issues, all sorts of health issues. You have no idea. Like, I talked to so many pet parents whose dogs were on all sorts of allergy medication, like Apoquil. And just by switching from dry kibble to our food, they see a complete reduction in symptoms. Sometimes they're able to get their dogs off of medication completely. So very passionate about what we're doing with our non-GMO food.
Yeah, I got just a half a minute left. Do you have like a chicken one, a fish one, a beef one, or is it some dogs' foods are sold that way? Do we have different flavors?
Yeah, we have all sorts of flavors, chicken and beef. We also have, it's called Perfect Dog Food Mix. It's like a Betty Crocker mix for dogs where you can combine 10 different ground meats into the mix. Easy and cheap way to make fresh food. So we have lots of options out, and we're actually about to launch a bunch of new recipes. So, yeah, definitely sign up for our email list at yumwoof.com, and we have many, many cool things coming.
Really interesting, Jaron. Nice to talk to you today. Good luck to you. Good luck to all the dogs out there.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing our brand with your audience, John, and really love what you do.